We continue somewhat from what we talked about earlier this morning, and we have to realize that we live in Quietville. We live on the north side of town. We live on the poor side of town. I should say our church is on the poor side of town. Our church is in the north side. Our church is in Quietville, this building here. And Lord willing, that will never change. We're staking our claim here on this side of town, and we are hoping to be a light in this community here. And so we have to ask, since we have said we're going to stay here in this community, we have to ask a very important question. Because if you haven't noticed, our community doesn't look like we do, for the most part. So we have to ask this question. How do we reach out to non-believers of a different culture or a different subculture? How do we do that? This morning we said that the church, the Spirit-filled church, has both diversity and unity, and we are unified around what? Christ crucified. In the end, at the consummation of all things, when all nations of the world stand before God's holy throne, they will stand before not only the throne, but also the Lamb, Christ crucified. But how do we today, practically speaking, reach out to people of another culture? Well, we're going to go to Paul this morning. Paul, believe it or not, was an expert on cross-cultural evangelism. Paul dealt with race issues in almost every single New Testament epistle. There was a Jew-Gentile issue. In some epistles, it's one of the main points of the entire letter, is that Christ has brought both Jew and Gentile together. And so we're going to go to Paul. He's the expert. He is the one who knows more than we do about cross-cultural evangelism, and we're going to see what he has done. And we need help. We need help from the Holy Spirit, and I thank Brother Jim for praying for that. But we need help because in our day and age, when people stare into the face of racism and racial divide, they are typically doing it in order to fan the flames of hate. They do it in order to achieve political power. We want to look into the face of racism. We want to look into the face of racial divide, not to fan the flames of hate, but to fan the flames of love, that we might understand, that we might be equipped to be able to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're looking at this for the sake of the lost, not necessarily for our own sake. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We could go many places in the New Testament, Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 10 as well. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, and this is the evening service, so I can do things a little bit radical. I'm going to read the whole chapter. So, take your pill and get ready. Am I not free? Paul says, well, I'll give you a chance to turn there, 1 Corinthians 9. And you're going to notice some very famous passages in here, and I bet you didn't know they had to do with racial division. But look at this. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I'm not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. So he's speaking to a church. He says, I'm free. I'm an apostle. If I'm not an apostle for other people, I'm at least an apostle for you. I'm the one that told you the gospel. First time. Verse 3. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas, that's Peter? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? You're saying the other apostles have wives? Are you saying that Paul and Barnabas, we can't have wives? Are you saying that I can't eat a little bit of the vines that I planted? That I can't receive a paycheck for my missionary work as an apostle? Verse 8. Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same thing? That's the Old Testament law. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for the oxen that God is concerned? Does he not speak entirely for our sake? See, what he's saying here is that if an ox get to eat some of the oats it plows, I should be able to have a little bit of the money that the gospel produces in you. If it's good for the ox, it's good for the apostle. Well, it was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. Even the ox has that hope. You know, if we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Now, here's the key. He's saying, I have a right to be paid from you people. He's saying, I have a right to eat whatever I want from the dietary menu. He said, I have a right to take a wife if I want to. But notice the next phrase. Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right. You see that right there? We have not staken claim to our personal rights. But we endure anything. What does he endure? Anything. Rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. So I'm not telling you this so that you'll start paying me. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. And here's the clincher for this evening. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. We'll come back to that. To those outside the law, that's the Gentiles, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. So he's saying, I became a Jew to win Jews, and I became a Gentile to win Gentiles. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Now, remember we are asking, remember what we're asking? How to reach out to non-believers of a different subculture. Is Paul dealing with this? Is Paul an expert in cross-cultural evangelism? You'd better believe it. He's a Jew. He's a Pharisee. But what is Paul's goal in this portion of Scripture? Look at verse 19. What's his goal? Verse 19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might what? What's that next word? Win more of them. Look at verse 22. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. Verse 23. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. This passage of Scripture is expressing to us Paul's desire to win people to Christ, that he might share in the blessings of the gospel with them. And he is doing certain things for the sake of the gospel. Now, should this be our goal? Should this be our goal? Maybe it's just because he's an apostle. Maybe it's because he's a special evangelist. But we don't have to give of our personal rights in order to reach others of different subcultures than ours. No, that's just for apostles and special people with certain gifts. But look, if you would, all the way to chapter 10. We're going all the way through this passage. Go to the very end in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians 10. And look at verse 31. In verse 31, Paul gives us the commentary for the whole section. And notice it is a command. And it is a command to us. He says, whether therefore... You see, he's building on this entire thing that he just taught in Romans 9, in 1 Corinthians 9 and 10. He says in verse 31 of chapter 10, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Who's heard that verse? Who agrees with that verse? Amen. But did you know this has to do with racial relationships? Look at the very next verse, verse 32. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks. What are you talking about, Paul? No, we're talking about doing things to the glory of God. We're not talking about relationships between Jews and Greeks. But Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it to the glory of God. Therefore, what that means is give no offense to Jews or Greeks or to the church of God in what you eat or in what you drink or in whatever you do. Just as I, notice what he does, I try to please everyone in everything I do. Now, I know you see there's some red flags there. Paul, really? Is that really what you mean? Well, we'll get to that. But don't miss the main point because your mind is filled with objections. Just listen to him for a second. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many. And notice the main point, that they may be saved. See, he is eating and drinking with gospel intentions. And he is doing things with gospel intentions. They're not for his own advantage. They are for others, that he might win some. Now, what did Paul do? What did Paul do? First, he gave up personal rights. He gave up the personal right of having a wife. He gave up the personal right of eating certain foods from the menu when he was around Jews. He gave up personal rights of monetary support. And so Paul, in essence, for us, is not acting very American at all, is he? You know, Americans, we demand our rights. We fought wars over our rights. And we demand our rights. And this is not just a majority issue. Minority and majority both demand their rights, and they demand them now. But Paul is saying just the opposite, that for the Christian to reach the non-Christian world, especially cross-culturally, there must be some loosing of our own personal rights. The first thing we should not be standing up for is our own personal rights. Sure, Paul deserves, or Paul has the right to be paid. He has the right to have a wife, and he has the right to eat pork if he wants to. But he doesn't. He gives up of his own personal rights. I'll tell you a little story about that. My wife and I in Florida, now this wasn't for the cause of evangelism, but this was the cause of community among Christians who were totally different. Our first friends were Korean when we went to Florida for seminary. And I remember our first day was a little orientation. We looked around the room. We said, we're new. We don't know anybody. Let's go make friends with those Korean people over there. We went over there and talked to them. They could barely speak English at all. Eventually, they could speak English pretty well, and their child would translate for us because he learned English in about 6 months perfectly. Well, we went over to their house, and they served us kimchi. Who's anybody heard of kimchi before? No? Really? Well, Nick lived in Korea for a little while, so he knows kimchi. Well, kimchi is basically cabbage. And cabbage by itself it's pretty stout. Buried in the ground for a long time until it rots. So this is not Brandon's palate, okay? My palate is not ready for kimchi. And they served us kimchi. You know, that verse, whether therefore you eat or drink, you do all to the glory of God, really is very relevant there. It really is. Because they're serving me rotten cabbage. Cabbage is rotten already, but this is actually rotten. And I ate that and I thought, whoa. You know, Brandon, you are giving up of your personal rights. I am not demanded of Scripture to eat kimchi. But for the sake of my brother in Christ, whom I desired community with, I ate kimchi. You know, I eventually grew to like it a little bit. You know, it grows on you. Not literally. But Paul gave up of his own personal rights. And I believe that we as Christians, in our communities, dealing with people different than us, and I really think to make friends with someone of a different culture, a different subculture, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to just give up a little bit of your own personal rights sometimes. You know, they're not going to do things the way you do things. Well, let's see what else they did. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 9. You're already there in 9, but look at 19. And before you read that, let me just say, Paul also became a servant to non-believers. He not only gave up his own personal rights, but he became a servant to non-believers. And Paul was a Jew. If anyone had a right to feel special, it was Paul, right? He was a Jew of the chosen race who had the Old Testament, who had the Mosaic Law. But he gave up his rights. He did not feel as though he was racially superior to the Gentiles. He served non-believers of other races. And we have really no reason to feel special. Our ancestors were not too long ago running around in Western Europe, painting their faces blue and worshiping Thor and Odin until the gospel collided with them from missionaries sent by God. So we have no reason to feel special, any more special than any other race or ethnic group. But Paul, as a Jew, had a reason to feel special. I mean, Abraham began. Well, look what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I am free, he has Christian liberty. We talk about that quite a bit. He was free from all. I don't have to listen to these Jews. I don't have to follow their dietary rules. I don't have to listen to these Gentiles and all their crazy practices. I'm free. I'm an apostle. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. What's his reasoning? The gospel. Winning people to salvation. And the method is making himself a servant to non-believers. Martin Luther put it this way. He wrote a tract called Freedom of a Christian. Martin Luther said, a Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Both are true. Martin Luther goes on to explain it like this. He says, these two theses seem to contradict each other. Servant of all, free from all. But both are Paul's own statements, who says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all. And in Romans 13, 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. That's a big bet. You see the contrast there? Don't owe a man anything except to love him, which is everything. Love, by its very nature, is ready to serve and be subject to him who is loved. Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Serve one another. Now, what does this look like? What does this look like? Listen to what John Piper says. He says, in freedom, for love's sake, you try to overcome unnecessary, alienating differences that cut you off from unbelievers. In freedom, for love's sake, you learn the Maninka language and translate the Bible. In freedom, for love's sake, you eat dinner together the way they eat dinner. In freedom, for love's sake, you dress pretty much like the middle-class American natives. Speaking of a missionary reference. In freedom, for love's sake, you get into their politics